This podcast is sponsored by Active Skin Repair, a skin health company helping people heal with natural, non-toxic, medical-grade ingredients. Okay, guys, I am probably one of the most accident-prone people on the planet. You can blame it on many things, bad luck, poor spatial perception, but it all results in the same thing. Bree can injure herself literally anywhere, anytime. Take, for instance, last week, I was plucking my eyebrows, people, and I stabbed myself in the hand. Next thing I know, I am bleeding everywhere going, what the heck just happened? But luckily for me, I had some Active Skin Repair on hand, just one spray, and it felt so much better. By the next day, it was not red, not sore. It was fantastic. I love this stuff. Active Skin Repair can be used to treat a wide range of skin issues, and since it's all natural, non-toxic, it's perfect for people like me with sensitive skin. It works by utilizing hydrochloric acid, which mimics a natural immune response to cleanse, soothe irritation, reduce inflammation, and support the healing. With over 500,000 happy customers, thousands of five-star reviews, and ingredients that are so safe and clean that it can be used from the youngest member of your family all the way up to the oldest, most accident prone like me, you can have one simple solution for your family's skin health needs. So visit www.activeskincarerepair.com to learn more about Active Skin Repair and get 20% off your order by using the code NOGUILT. That's www.activeskinrepair.com. Use the code NOGUILT to get 20% off your order.
I talk a ton about money because I talk about things like parental leave or equity in the home, and men will often say, well, I'm the provider. That's my job. And first off, I think that's such an outdated viewpoint because most women work and earn money and fewer men are breadwinners, right? Like, that's just going to be a tired argument really soon. It's not as if women are not money-wise. They understand how to spend money. They understand how to make money. They understand how to budget. Like, women know how to use money effectively. But there's this narrative that men will say, well, I earn more, therefore I don't need to participate at home. You should stay home when we have kids. Or you'll see those TikToks that are like, if my wife made $300,000, then sure, I'd be a stay-at-home dad. And it's like, well, why are moms being asked to be stay-at-home moms when their partner makes 60K? What is the difference?
Exactly.
Like, why is his money, quote unquote, goes further than her money does, right? When in reality, it's all the same.
Welcome to the No Guilt Mom podcast. I am your host, Joanne Crone, here with the amazing Bree Tucker.
Why, hello, hello, everybody. How are you?
We're talking about mental load today. And it's not just mental load. It is really like, how do we make people more aware of what women are expected to do and what men are expected to do.
Right, right.
Because there's so much complaint in society against like women complaining too much.
And there is so much going on just in general with the whole traditional or the trad way of living versus like non. I mean, that's a big hot topic if you go on social media these days. There's a big, people feel very strongly one way or another, but I feel like sometimes they're missing the whole point.
Yes, they are. And so we have a amazing guest today. I follow her on Instagram and TikTok, and I was so delighted to get to meet her and actually talk in real time. It is Paige Connell. You might know her as she's a Paige Turner on TikTok and Instagram. She's a working mom of four and a content creator who brings awareness to the mental load of motherhood and advocates for equitable marriages. Paige is also an advocate for affordable childcare. She's been featured in Scary Mommy, The Today Show, Bloomberg, and more. Paige helps mothers put words to their lived experiences so that they can strive for more equitable and happy relationships. All in line with us here at No Guilt Mom.
I was going to say, and you can't get much more than that. Paige, you
can't get much
sister.
More than that. And before we get into our conversation with Paige, can you take a few seconds? Can you give us a review on the podcast? We would so appreciate it. Those reviews, not only do they just light us up, but they help the No Guilt Mom podcast get to more women who need it. So if you could please take a quick second for the review, we will love you forever. We really do. We read all the reviews, Bree, and we pass them along in our company.
Yes.
Yeah. We're very excited every time a review comes in. So if you want to light us up today, please leave us a review. And without any more, here is Paige.
You want mom life to be easier. That's our goal too. Our mission is to raise more self-sufficient and independent kids. And we're going to have fun doing it. We're going to help you delegate and step back Each episode, we'll tackle strategies for positive discipline, making our kids more responsible, and making our lives better in the process. Welcome to the No Guilt Mom Podcast.
Paige, it is so good to see you because I get to see you online all the time and all of your reels and your TikTok. So it's fabulous to meet you kind of in person, like screens in person.
Yeah, live, right? Yeah. It's real live. Connection. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I can talk to you and you can talk to me back right here without the Instagram comments or the like anything in between. So welcome to the podcast.
This is the new in real life, like post-COVID. This is how it is, man. Being actual and live person, it's overrated. It's overrated.
I mean, I miss it. I work from home, so I'd say like 90% of my adult interactions are online these days, which is a bummer sometimes. I'm like, I would like to see a human today.
It can That'd be nice. Rough. It can be. Well, we're going to see. Kind of a bummer. We are going to get to see each other in person, though, very soon. Excited. By the time this episode airs, we'll be in person.
Ugh, yay.
I get the whole wanting to see other humans. I did a talk at ASU here 2 days ago, and it was supposed to be to women entrepreneurs talking about, like, you know, being an entrepreneur and everything like that. And I was like, yes, I get to go see people in person. One student was there live. Everybody else was joining via Zoom.
Really?
Like, oh, this is so like, yeah, it wasn't on the main campus. It was on like the West campus, which is much, much smaller, but I get the whole thing. Paige, I need to tell you how we found you because we found you in a very interesting way. It was actually, we have a company we call 2.5 because one of our people's part-time, Christina. And Christina found your video talking about summer camp, like keeping the mental load in terms of like what shirts they have to wear on which day. I can't remember all the other details you went in. And that was my first introduction to you. And since then, I have followed you a ton and seeing you talk about mental load and like the disparity about what men are expected of and what women are expected of. So I'm curious, like, how did you start doing this?
It was by accident. I was living it, right? I think I was living it. I became a mom right before the pandemic and now have 4 kids. And so I feel like I came out of that period of time and my eyes opened up and I was like, whoa, these last 3 years went by in a blur. And now I am the primary parent. I'm doing the bulk of the domestic labor. I'm working full time. I am carrying the mental load. I am tapped out, right? Like I just one day as a mom, I came to the realization of what had happened to me over those 3 years that we were in this weird fake world, right? That we were living in. And I started working through it in my own life and talking about the mental load and domestic labor with my partner and equity and all these things. This was a conversation that was happening in my home. And it just happened to coincide with the fact that I work with a company or in a company where we utilize TikTok for marketing. And we were learning about TikTok. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to play around on this app. I'm going to learn about it. I'd always been a lurker. Like I'd always watched TikToks, but I'd never interacted or posted or did anything. And so I said to myself, I'm going to dabble. And I was just posting stuff about my life, motherhood, parenting, career, et cetera, and started to find out that people were interested in what I was saying or had similar experiences and really started to hear a lot about the mental load of parenting and just what it feels like to be the primary parent or a working parent, whatever it might be. And I just grew from there and continued to share both my experience, but also just my observations on our society as a whole. A lot of what I talked about is not about my marriage. It's about just what exists, what we're all working with and how we can change it or adapt and advocate for ourselves. And so, yeah, it just happened. It was not intentional by any means, but I am really thankful for the platform I have and try to be really intentional about how I use it.
Yeah. And like you've been getting picked up by media and you have a huge following. A lot of men who decide to comment on your stuff and tell you how wrong you are. We'll talk about them in a little bit and how you handle that. But what was like the first thing like you did where you're like, oh my gosh, I like really have something here? What was like the little twist that was like, oh, okay. People are noticing.
Yeah. My very first video on TikTok got like 300,000 views. My very first one.
Coming out the gate, man.
Yeah. And you know what I was talking about was I was talking about the cost of childcare in a sense, in a roundabout way, right? People were talking about the ideal time to have a kid. And I was like, hey, what I've learned as a mom of 4 kids is that if you can avoid having a cutoff kid, you avoid like $20,000 in childcare costs, right? Because I have a child who's born in November, so she has an extra year of daycare compared to all of my other kids. And I was, it was just like, it was just something I was like, oh, I didn't even think about it when I had her. It wasn't intentional. I wouldn't have changed it, right? But like something to think about. And I advocate a lot for affordable childcare and accessible childcare because I'm a parent who's both worked in daycare and also utilized daycare. And yeah, so that first video really was like my first indicator that like, okay, maybe I have some helpful thoughts, but it really didn't probably click for about 6 months when I had a video go viral about why I continue to be in the workforce, which brought out quite opinionated people in the comments. But I basically was talking about why I, as a mother, chose to continue working despite the astronomical cost of childcare and despite the fact that it's hard when you're raising kids. And yeah, the overwhelming response from women is what keeps me going, right? Like hearing from women who say, you're saying the things that I didn't know how to say, or you're putting words to experiences that I couldn't do. Thank you. Now I can talk about it. Now I can have conversations about it, because before I couldn't articulate what it was I was feeling. And that's really for me what kept me going and really motivated me to keep posting.
Let's dig into that a little bit. What was that video? Why did you decide to stay in the workforce when you had four kids and daycare was real high?
That's not an easy choice at all.
Yeah. I mean, we pay a lot of money for daycare and childcare. We have four kids and we pay what would be average where we live. Like the cost is average where I live. So when I talk to people where I live, they're like, yeah, that makes sense. But like when you say it out loud to somebody who maybe doesn't live in Massachusetts, they're mind blown, right, at how much we pay. Yeah. And the reason I feel like I have to often justify it, right? I shouldn't have to do that, but I do. I justify it. And the reason that I personally remain in the workforce is first and foremost because I wanted to. I want to have a job. I want to have purpose outside of my kids. My parents were divorced when I was young, and I always saw the value in my mom being able to support herself and have that financial security. That's really important to me, not even just for divorce, but God forbid something happens to my partner. He works an incredibly dangerous job. Like, I want to know that I could take care of my family if I wanted to. It gives me purpose, right? It gets me motivated. More than that, if we were solely talking financial reasons, what I've said is oftentimes people leave the work for a short period of time, or people tell them to, like, just leave for 5 years. You can go back. And for me, the short-term cost savings didn't outweigh the long-term opportunity for my career, for my income growth, for my retirement fund, for my benefits, right? All of these things that I want to do in 10 years require me to stay in the workforce now. And when I think about it, it's like, what do I want my kids to have? I want to be able to pay for them if they want to play travel baseball or something. I want to be able to pay for that and be able to do that. I want to be able to take them on vacations. And we don't do a lot of that right now because of the cost of childcare. But I think to 10 years from now, when I don't have that cost anymore, what would it look like? What will this money do for our family? What will this allow us to do for our children? And that's what motivates me as well, at least on the financial side of things, which is also I'll be able to retire and not put a burden on my own kids, right, for that part. So for me, it's that whole picture. It's like, personally, I wanted to work, but financially, for what we want to do with our lives and where we want to go from here, it does require me remaining in the workforce and taking this temporary financial hit when it comes to the cost of childcare.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, I agree. Like, it is thinking long term, because a lot of women, I feel like, were told, you take some time off, it'll be okay. But then it's really hard to get back in after you've taken time off, because like gaps in resumes are a real thing, especially with employers. And as much as people like to say, yeah, mothers should go spend time with their kids, it doesn't work out in like the real world.
Right. Seriously, there's hardly any careers that you could really take a 5-year gap and be able to come back in even at the same point you were when you left. Like, I just, I can't even fathom it. And having worked in early childhood myself as well, and that's a pretty mom-friendly career field. And still, it's like trying to run up a hill of sand. You just keep sliding down.
Exactly. And I say, it's not that you can't get back in. You can. Yeah. You can definitely go back to work. You're just probably not going to be at the same level, the same pay, the same respect too. There's this like idea that like, oh, she took off 3 years from work, so her brain has turned to mush and she knows nothing. No, of course not.
Yeah.
Like,
it's there.
Something. It's... Exactly.
Yeah.
But they're like, oh, you lose so much. And I'm sure I've lost some of the new lingo, or I don't know the latest like app that does X, Y, and Z, but you can learn that in a month, right? I don't need, those 3 years didn't negate my whole lived experience up until that point, right? But that's how people view women in the workforce. Like when they've left for 3 years, they view it as if they're starting brand new, like fresh out of college, they know nothing.
Yeah.
No, it's true. It's true. I want to hear what the response was to that video and what you said right after this.
Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. Hey guys, Brie here. And let me tell you, April is a killer time of the year for me because it is crazy allergy season. I swear, everything that is in bloom looks fantastic and beautiful, but it makes it so I can't breathe. I am literally coughing, sneezing, rubbing my nose. I look like Rudolph half of the spring. It's terrible. But luckily for those of us who live with symptoms of allergies like I do, we live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can finally breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine is the best decongestant available. It relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy, watery eyes, itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. I absolutely love it. It is the only allergy medicine that works for me. So if you're ready to live life as if you don't have allergies, it's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just one quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear.
You have probably heard me talk about my dog, Addie, before. And when we first got her, we didn't know that she was a counter surfer. Now, counter surfing animals are the ones who jump on counters, especially kitchen counters, when you're not looking and take stuff off of them. Well, in this instance, Addie had jumped onto the kitchen counter and eaten an entire bottle of my other dog's pain medication. You can imagine the freak out that ensued from me. So imagine this. You're at the vet's office again. Knowing that vet care costs continue to rise, you're anxiously waiting to hear how expensive the bill will be. But if you had pet insurance, your pet could be covered for accidents or illnesses. That's why you should check out ASPCA Pet Health Insurance.
The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care that they may need. They allow you to customize the plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are.
The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account.
To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/no guilt. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/no guilt. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/no guilt.
This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance.
Okay, Paige, my squirrel brain really won't let it go. What dangerous job does your husband do?
Oh, yeah, he's a lineman, which when I say that people will think football, which is not football, it's an electrical lineman, essentially. Yeah. So he climbs utility poles and fixes electricity and...
It could get electrocuted any day.
Free, that's what your brother-in-law does, right?
No.
Or he does something similar to
no,
that?
No, no.
But it's something like, no. Okay.
Not really.
Fine.
Totally fine. Off. Totally off there, Joanne. Totally off there.
No. Yeah. It's just a lot of electricity, which is dangerous, yeah. Right? And they work like a ton of storms and works a lot of crazy unexpected hours. It's just, yeah, it's just a dangerous job.
But let's get into, so you put the video out saying that you chose to stay in the workforce, take the temporary hit and cost, and you got a lot of quote unquote reaction. What was some of the pushback to that argument? Because to me, it makes total sense.
Some of them were like, you're selfish. How could you prioritize money over your kids? How can you let somebody else raise your children?
Can I do an audible eye roll to that there? Like for people that aren't seeing video. Oh my God.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. One guy, it was right before Mother's Day. This video came out in May, commented, "You don't deserve to celebrate Mother's Day." Like that in all caps. And I laughed. I laugh. Like, I take a lot of it with a grain of salt. I'm like, who is this random human being on the internet? I don't care. But the comments were really divided. There was a ton of women who were like, yep, get it. Understand. Mm-hmm. I'm with you. Totally agree. The other half were either moms who were saying, I can't imagine leaving my children. I can't imagine doing what you've done. Or kids don't need those things. And of course they don't. Like, right, like extracurriculars, vacations, they don't need those things. But we all get to choose what we want to prioritize, right? And mm-hmm. I think that's the thing that is really difficult about being online chronically for all of us, is that we have our own opinions on what we think is valuable for our kids. And people cannot help but share them with you when you say anything that differs with it, right? And so it's like, you might not care about your kid doing Taekwondo, but my kid loves it. And so I'm going to do it. And so who cares, right? Let me live.
Exactly.
I'll let you live. We'll all be happy. Like,
yeah.
Nobody's getting hurt, right?
Something like people really don't take into account with money, because there's so much like money mindset in this society mm-hmm. that like especially women take on. Like, we've been told like, you know, don't be too greedy, be happy mm-hmm. with what you have. But in the same time, it's like they tell all the men, oh, go and earn what you need to earn. Make sure like you get the best deal. Make sure you mm-hmm. do all of this. So it's very like, it's countering each other, and it's taking away, I believe, a lot of women's rights to do stuff, be mobile, for instance, mm-hmm. in society, to like leave horrible relationships, to mm-hmm. take care of their children if something happened to their husband. It is such a messed up mindset that people perpetuate about money. I mean, have you seen this, Paige?
Yes, I talk a ton about money because I talk about things like parental leave or equity in the home. And men will often say, well, I'm the provider. That's my job. And first off, I think that's such an outdated viewpoint, because most women yeah. work and earn money, and fewer men are breadwinners, right? Like, that's just going to be a tired argument really soon. It already is, but it will be even more so in the future. But for me, it's that men have been told they are providers and that is their ultimate job. And so they prioritize it over everything else. And women have been told their primary job is to be mothers, and or we are also told a narrative about what we do with money. Women are shopaholics. Women light money on fire. It's my money. She just spends it, right? Like, this whole narrative that we've placed on mothers, when in reality, I know as a mom, almost every dollar I spend is on my kids or my mm-hmm. partner. Right? Like, I'm buying him new socks. He's not buying them. I'm buying them when I go to Costco, right? It's not as if women are not money wise. They understand mm-hmm. how to spend money. They understand how to make money. They understand how to budget. Like, women know how to use money effectively, but there's this narrative that they don't. And so that's also really frustrating and a big part of this conversation too, which is women struggle in the workforce because there's the motherhood penalty and the wage gap. And then men will say, well, I earn more, therefore I don't need to participate at home. You should stay home when we have kids. Or you'll see those TikToks that are like, if my wife made $300,000, then sure, I'd be a stay-at-home dad. And it's like, well, why are moms being asked to be stay-at-home moms when their partner makes $60,000? What is the difference?
Exactly.
Like, why is his money, quote unquote, goes further than her money does, right? When in reality, it's all the same.
It comes into that whole thing too about like your time. Like, Joanne, I know we've talked about this in several podcasts, like the value of your time. Because mm-hmm. with that mindset that you're talking about, like, a traditional mindset would be that, okay, so a male's time is worth what he gets paid because that is what he does. And then for a woman, okay, maybe she gets paid less, but then what about all the extra stuff that she does? Everything mm-hmm. else that she does, add that into her time. And guess what? She far surpasses you in that primitive thought process. So anyway. Sorry.
It's also like the whole thought process in all of it. I'm reading this book right now. I talk about it a lot in our balance community, like every day. It's called On Her Best Behavior. Have you heard of this book, Paige?
I have not.
Oh, it is so good. It's basically how women's behavior has been dictated by the seven deadly sins, and how like everything that like we're told not to do aligns back to that kind
interesting.
Of, you know, that philosophy. So I was just listening to the chapter on anger this morning. Mm-hmm. And this goes into this conversation, because a lot of the times when we go online and we speak our opinions, we're seen as like the quote unquote angry woman. Here's the angry woman. Oh, don't listen to her. She's so shrill. She doesn't like appreciate the things she has in life. She doesn't expect gratitude. We shouldn't listen to that. And we have never really been taught to see that like a woman who's angry is just as valid as a man
who is angry. And one of the huge like examples that stuck in my mind this morning is they talked about tennis stars. And like John McEnroe, for instance, when he had his like huge tantrums on the court and he was like throwing down his racket, they're like, that's John McEnroe. He's passionate about tennis. And right. then there was something that happened with Serena Williams where she lost a title because, first of all, the ref caught her for getting coaching help from the stands. All her coach gave her was a thumbs up, and that the ref said, oh, you're getting coaching help. And then she got knocked off for arguing against that with the ref. And yeah. she got so many penalties, she lost it. All because she just spoke up and gave her opinion. And so I'm wondering, like, especially Paige, since you are seeing like all of this in social media and you have so much interaction there, like how much do you put into this about being the quote unquote angry about things? Because we are angry about things and speaking out.
I get called bitter a lot. And I'm like, of course I'm bitter. Why wouldn't I be? Like, how could I not, right? I don't know. Why aren't we all bitter, right? And I think it's a thing that men will think that I'm going to take personally. And I'm like, no, I am. Like, for sure, I'll own that. I'm bitter. I'm bitter that you get more free time and recreation time than women. I'm bitter that you don't have to do more childcare. I'm bitter that you don't take parental leave when you have it available to you. Yeah, I am. I'm bitter. That pisses me off. And I have a lot of people say, a lot of men are like, I agree with you, but you could say it nicer. You could say it yeah. differently. Yeah, and I'm like, are you kidding though? Like if you were going through what women go through, you wouldn't be happy. You wouldn't do it with a smile on your face.
And nobody would listen. Let's just be honest. The polite, very nice, like Joanna just said, like on her best be the nice, quiet, polite. Can I speak?
That's what you have to be. Like in all of society, because it's even like this book, Fierce Self-Compassion by Dr. Kristen Neff. She talks about how in interviews, women versus men in job interviews. So like men can go in and tout all of their accomplishments and everything they've done. And if a woman goes in and says the same thing, she is looked upon more poorly than the man. However, there's one change the woman can make in her behavior is that she can say all her accomplishments, but she could also put in things about how she helps others and how she helps people and takes care of people in the office. And then they're judged the same. But there's so many implicit biases in our society that people don't even realize they're doing. Like the man who's like, yeah, you could say it a little bit nicer. I bet he has never been told that he could say something nicer in his entire life.
No. Yeah. And I also have people use my kids, right? They'll be like, oh, how would you feel if your kids saw this video? And I'm like, I don't think my kids would be surprised because they live with me, right? They know that I think about these things and I talk about these things. And wouldn't it be weird if they didn't? I don't know. Like, I'm not living two separate lives over here, right? My kids are aware that I think that women deserve the same things that men get. And, you know, I have one son and three daughters. And, you know, my son, I remember this morning, he just left a banana peel on the counter. And I was like, whoa, dude, walk it back. Like, who do you think's picking that up? I'm not, right? I'm not picking that up. Put it in the trash. And he like grumbled, you know, and I'm like, yeah, it sucks. Sucks to have to clean up after yourself, but we all have to do it. And so you do too, right? And so exactly. We're having conversations about domestic labor and who's doing what in our house, because if we had these conversations with our kids, then when they grow up, they wouldn't go, oh, that's a bitter old lady over there. They'd say like, yeah, she doesn't want to be disrespected.
Yeah, exactly. Let's get into that subject of like how we can not train our kids to do this, but how we can really inform our kids and educate our kids about the mental load. And we're going to get into it right after this.
I'm Margaret.
And I'm Amy.
And together we host the podcast, What Fresh Hell? Laughing in the Face of Motherhood.
Margaret, I would say you're sort of a where are my keys kind of mom.
Correct. Sometimes a where are my kids kind of mom. Well, you're, Amy, more of a we were supposed to leave 35 seconds ago, mom.
I mean, touche. And each episode of What Fresh Hell, we come at a topic from our usually completely opposite perspectives. I bring the research.
And I bring kind of the gimlet eye. Like, is that research really going to work, people?
And almost 10 million downloads later, we're still laughing.
We also talk to experts in the parenting field, plus parents with stories we can all learn from.
We make each other laugh, we challenge each other's assumptions, and we have what we think is the best parenting community on the internet.
Check out What Fresh Hell, Laughing in the Face of Motherhood, wherever you listen to podcasts.
When it comes to raising kids, there's so much to consider. Things like, what do we feed them? When do we feed them? How do they sleep? What does it look like to raise kind kids? How does their nervous system work? How do I keep myself calm? What are my triggers? There's so much that comes into play. And we are distilling all of that information for you at Voices of Your Village podcast, where we bring experts in the field of early childhood and education and psychology and across the board so that you don't have to comb the internet for information. You get to show up and hang out and have shame-free, judgment-free conversations and insights into what it looks like to raise kind, empathetic, emotionally intelligent humans. I'm Alyssa Blask Campbell. I have a master's degree in early childhood education. I'm a mom of two, and I am walking this journey right alongside you doing this work. Come hang out with me at Voices of Your Village, and we can dive into real conversations with actionable tips.
So let's talk about our kids and how we're kind of looking to them and seeing like how we can educate them on the mental load. Because I know one thing like I don't want for my kids is I have a 10-year-old son and a 15-year-old daughter. I do not want either of them to be in relationships where one person takes on the brunt of the mental load and one person is looked to do all of the household tasks while the other person is just expected to work. And in my household, actually, we have something where my husband works outside of the home. He makes most of the money in our house too, just because, I mean, he's in engineering. He's been in the job for 30 years. Come on. I've gone from like, from teaching to entrepreneurship and just trying to show kids how to create equality in the home is really hard. And I'm interested in what conversations are you having, Paige, to help with that?
I think sometimes it's conversations and sometimes it's action too, right? I shared with Joanne and Brie that there's a stomach bug in my house right now. And the reason I'm here on this podcast is because my husband took the day off and he was like, you've got stuff to do. And so he took the day off, right? And there's this assumption in our house that it's not always mom taking the day off and doing the grocery shopping and doing the cooking and doing the cleaning, right? Or doing it together. He's just as active of a participant. So I think that's part of it, right? In my home growing up and even up until recently, I remember my dad used to be like, Paigey, go get me a water. Go get me a napkin. And I'd be like, what? Like, you have feet. You have legs. Why am I doing this? Right? But we just did it because that's how we grew up. And it was like, we just bring things to him. Right? And my mom didn't necessarily do that, but like that was the narrative, right? Like the patriarch of the family. And that doesn't happen in our house, right? We don't do it like that. So I think there's that, right? And then when we talk about it, the way I talk about it is my son was goofing the other day with his Cheerios and they flew everywhere. And I was like, cool. I was like, yep, it was an accident. Not a big deal. I was like, well, how are you going to clean it up? And he's, can you clean it up? And I was like, oh, well, you know, I didn't really make the mess and I'm happy to help you. But I do think you need to come help me do this, right? Because this is a lot of work, right? And we talk about that, like, oh, this is a lot of work. It's not super fun to have to chase Cheerios all around the first floor of our house, right? This isn't enjoyable. Mm-hmm. And even just like age appropriately saying, hey, this is yours and you need to do this. And I find chores are a good way. We don't do chores in a super structured way because my kids are all young, but they all ask to do chores. They think it's a fun thing. We've made it something that like everybody's doing. So I don't care if you're sweeping, if you're wiping the chairs down, doesn't matter to me, but participating, right? They all view that as just an assumed thing we do in our house. And like I said, my kids are super young. They're all under six. And so we're not necessarily talking about the mental load or talking about the work itself, but even things like money, right? We can talk to our kids about these things. My son will be like, why do you have to work? And I'm like, oh, well, I have to pay for things and that's how I get paid. And he's like, well, what are you paying for? And I'm like, electricity and water and this house and the dog and you and
like all these things. Roll-ups, they're not free.
Yeah. And so they know that, right? They'll be like, oh, that money costs water or water costs money. And I'm like, it does. Like everything actually does cost money, right? And huge bummer. But when they ask me why I have to go to work, like I do say those things in an appropriate way for them, which is, mommy goes to work because this is how we're able to do some of the things that we do. And mommy likes to work.
Yeah.
So that's something that I feel is not talked about enough. It's work is fun. If you're in a good, if you're in a career you enjoy, work can be very fun. And it doesn't have to be something that you're giving up your kids to go do something you hate just for the money. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's the thing out there.
Yeah.
You see a lot of, I'm sure you're familiar with the trad wife movement. Brie, have you heard about the trad wife movement?
Yeah, you brought that. Yeah. So,
yes. Yeah. Okay. So for anyone who doesn't know about the trad wife movement, it's all about this going back to the home with the woman as the, like, the caretaker and making sourdough bread and doing all these things. But what I see in there is like, oh, why would I want a 9-to-5 job when I could be like here sitting on the porch with my coffee? And I'm like, dude, that's not the only consideration here. There is like a sense of joy and a sense of enthusiasm and accomplishment and achievement in work that is so fun.
And I think it comes right back to what we already talked about earlier about, first of all, what I'm hearing you say, Paige, and what you're talking about too, Joanne, is that if having a having that career is bringing you happiness, then that's important. And Paige, and you talked about this earlier, that in the world that we're in right now, it's so easy for us to share our opinions with each other because of our virtual access to everybody. And sometimes we are so stuck in what our values are and what makes us happy that we don't necessarily realize that when somebody else is sharing what's making them happy, that doesn't make it wrong. Because again, it comes back to what makes you a happy and whole person? And for some people, it is going to be sitting on their porch, drinking coffee, taking care of the kids, and making the sourdough bread. But there is
I would say that's cool, but it crosses a line where it says that all women should be doing
that. That's what I was going to say, but there is nothing wrong with the fact that is not what brings you happiness.
Yeah,
And we say it all the time in No Guilt Mom. The best mom is a happy mom, because if you're tired, exhausted, feeling unappreciated, feeling like you're not being valued, you're not going to be happy. Mm-hmm. And there's no reason for you to suffer through that.
Yeah. And I think for me, it's not we don't view men and women the same in these conversations, right? How come moms are abandoning their kids when they work, but men aren't abandoning their kids when they work? And, you know, that for me, that's also the thing, which is, can we get on the same page and expectations for everybody? And then maybe we can have a real conversation, right? Because one, we live in a capitalistic society, like we need money, but we've allowed also men oftentimes to skirt being like parents because they make money. I've had men tell me, oh, I don't need to take my kids to the doctors because I have a job. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, you chose to be a parent, right? Like, you didn't have to be a parent. You chose this. And so you having a job doesn't excuse you from certain parental duties, right? And so I think women are the ones who are being told all these different messages and being asked to do all these different things. I'm sure some men too, like, my husband has a lot of guilt sometimes when he has to work overtime. He's like, I feel like I should be home with you because of the way we operate in our home. He's like, I know how much work it is for you to do it by yourself. Because he also knows what it's like to do it by himself because we share this responsibility together. And so I am always saying to him too, it's not just women who have guilt, right? Like if there's a man who's an active participant in his home, who has an equitable relationship with his partner, he likely too has guilt about these things, right? It's just a question of what have they been conditioned to think? And I don't think a lot of this is an individual failure of women or men. I think it's societal, right? Like so much messaging,
100%.
So much marketing, all of it. And so depending if you're religious or not religious, right? There's just so much messaging we're getting. So it's not about, is your husband a bad guy because he prioritizes work? Probably not. That's just what he's been told. And so how do we walk it back? How do we fix that? How do we acknowledge each other and work towards something different if you want that?
I think that that's a great point because my husband, he's great. Like, you know, we work on an equal partnership all the time. But like at the same time, he has some conditioning in him so that we talk about this guilt conversation. I'm like, don't you ever feel any guilt? He's like, no, I don't feel any guilt. And it's just because of the culture he's in. However, he will also admit that he wants to be home with us. He doesn't want to be in the office. And he's looking at it more as like an independent thinking kind of scenario where it's not like he's forced to be at home or feels guilty he's not there, but he wants to. And I think it's so interesting because I also think like he is probably feeling the exact same emotions everybody else is feeling, but he is choosing to interpret it in a different way based on how he was conditioned and how he was raised.
Totally.
So it's totally like how you use the language, how you've been taught to use it, and like how you view the situation. But all in the end, like society, like I'm all for taking down the patriarchy lately. I talk about it all the time because it's really not a question of your partner's bad. Question of like, here are the beliefs in society and we really need to acknowledge these so that we can change it for you.
Yeah, totally. And what you can do at home matters, but it's not the only thing, right? There's only so much we can do within our homes. And so that's part of the reason I even do what I do is because I think it can't just be at my house. right? Like yeah. we all have to start changing some of our thoughts. It doesn't mean you have to change your life. You know, having access to it is helpful.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Paige, thank you so much for joining us. Yeah. This has flown by and I actually really want to keep talking to you more. So we have to put a pause on this for later, in 2 weeks when we meet up in person.
I know. Yes, exciting.
Yeah. So we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, thank you so much.
I feel like we have all these things we don't say during interviews of like things that like happen during them. Like I was just mentioning to you, landscapers, my dog licking her butt. Like I'm so glad that the mics don't pick up these things because I hear it. It is the most disgusting sound in the entire world. And like it fills me with rage and I'm here like with my fingers like snapping at her trying to like get it off. Oh my goodness. There's so much disturbance and noise. And then you were like apologizing to me right after we stopped the interview about your brother-in-law.
Right. So Paige shared that her husband works as a lineman. Was completely the wrong thing there. Lineman.
We were talking about football though. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And that he works on the electrical poles and with electricity. And then you're like, oh, that's what your brother-in-law does. And I go, nope. Not it. No. Because I felt like I was like, no, what my brother-in-law does is he maintains the landscaping around cell phone towers. Mm-hmm. Now, in general, you hear
electricity. Yeah.
Yeah. He doesn't deal with electrical or the tower or any of that. His job is to take care of the landscaping so that the people that do need to repair the tower can get to it. Now, the reason you said that, though, I'm certain.
Yeah, is because, no, I was.
Because 2 years ago when he was doing his job, which his job is hard. It is hard. It's a lot of physical labor. It's a rough job for sure. But in terms of is he normally putting his life at risk? No, he's not. Except for this one time when he was driving up a road to a cell tower in the middle of like nowhere, California. And took his eyes off the road for a moment to check the map and went off the side of the mountain. Yes, my brother-in-law went off the side of the mountain. His truck went down the mountain. His laptop, he was out the window, pieces everywhere. Yeah, he's fine now. We can kind of laugh about this now. Yeah. But it was interesting because, yeah, like he completely totaled his car, all of it, his truck, all of his equipment, and eventually like was able to crawl out of the wreckage. A passerby on a highway, a one-lane highway, because it was in the middle of nowhere, happened to come across him after he'd been out there for a little while, took him to a hospital. He had no ID, nothing, because it all – oh, I think his truck also caught on fire, if I remember correctly, because it started a fire on the mountain, too. It was not a good day.
No, but again, that's not a good day.
Yeah, he came out with nothing but bruises and scrapes and all of that and having to replace a lot of stuff. But yeah, that is where landscaping, a heavy job, went awry.
And why I thought he had a dangerous job.
Yeah. In general, as long as he keeps his eye on the road, it's not dangerous.
Yeah. Well, we hope we brought you something to think about today during the No Guilt Mom podcast and give you a little bit of laughs as well. Please share the podcast with anyone you know who's in need of some uplifting and knowing that they're not alone in motherhood.
Show them that they need to be a No Guilt Mom too.
Exactly. And remember, the best mom is a happy mom. Take care of you and we'll see you later.
Thanks for stopping by.
Well, hey there, busy mama. Are you looking for ways to make your life easier, your home less chaotic, and at the same time, add more joy to your life? My name is Deanna Yates, and I'm the host of Wanna Be Clutter Free, a podcast all about letting go of the stuff we don't need in our lives so that we can focus on what truly matters. Don't worry, I'm not going to tell you to throw it all away or make you feel guilty about keeping something you love, no matter how many other people don't quite understand it. But I will give you practical and, more importantly, actionable advice so that you can make progress right away. And you won't just hear it from me. There are amazing guests too. It's like having your bestie in your pocket, telling you it's okay to let go of the things that are not serving you and your family in a totally non-judgmental way. So join me over on the podcast where we can work on progress over perfection for those of us that want to be clutter-free.